And now, coming to you from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting throughout the multiverse, the Nine Realms, Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, Nidaveller, basically anywhere that has the internet, really, we proudly present Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 203 of the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, and we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the aggregator of your choice, and perhaps some aggregators that you would not choose for yourself. And you can also find us on Facebook. Look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, and you will find us there. Yeah, we're back from vacation. 2 weeks in Iceland I was. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the vacation content that I had for you while you're out there. Yeah, I told you wouldn't miss a show. And even if I had to do another mythology show, you know, the mythology shows are not that hard to put together. So yeah, I hope that the next one will come out before a year goes by. Basically, there's a big chunk of time between part one and part two. I'll try to get part three out a little bit faster. But I'm glad you all enjoyed it. I had a couple of comments on Facebook and otherwise from people who actually do enjoy those compilations of the Norse myths. And those of you listening this week who may not ordinarily be listening to the show for reasons that will become clear once the show gets underway, this is going to be one of those crossover shows where we get people coming in mainly for the non-comics content, because we're not going to be covering a comic this week. Yeah, I know. I promised you Girl Thor this week, and I'm sorry. Girl Thor will be here next week. At any rate, those of you who are tuning in because of this special episode, welcome. We hope you enjoy your stay here. And if you want to, you know, go back and listen to some of our other silly episodes instead of our little slightly more serious episode that we have for you this week. But this is a show that almost didn't happen. Now, as you folks know, I sometimes cover content that is related not just to the comics and to the mythology, but also to the worship of the Norse gods. Remember, we had Dave Caron back in episode number 52, who is a member of the Troth, and I've been kind of working behind the scenes for the last couple of months trying to reach somebody in Iceland who would be willing to talk about the Asatruarfenagith. My apologies to those of you who actually speak Icelandic. I am really terrible at pronouncing it. Which is the official Asatru Church of the state of Iceland. In Iceland, Asatru is recognized as a state religion, has been since 1973, but it's been really hard getting a hold of somebody. And the reason why this show almost didn't happen was because I wasn't able to get a hold of somebody before I went to Iceland. And what happened was kind of an interesting story, because I had kind of given up at that point. And I really wasn't trying to reach anybody once I'd reached Iceland. At that point, I'm like, I'm all about the vacation. And my second day in Iceland, I had a meeting with Freya, who is the agent who was working with me. I went through an agency to do my self-drive around Iceland, and they did all the accommodation booking and the car and took care of all that for me. So I didn't have to self-plan it all, not speaking Icelandic. I wasn't really sure how much English was spoken in Iceland, especially out in the rural areas. As it turns out, I really didn't need to worry about that. Everyone in Iceland speaks English. But it just came up in a conversation I had in my meeting with her that I had tried to reach somebody in the Asatru Church and not really gotten any response. There's no contact information listed on the Asatru website. And there's a reason for that that we'll talk about a little bit later. I think we touch on it in the interview. But what ended up happening was, after I had spoken to her about that, not in Reykjavik anymore, I was off toward my first night stay, and I got a text from Freya, from my agent, and saying, look, one of my coworkers is related to the Gothi of Northern Iceland. He's basically the Asatru priest in charge of Northern Iceland. He lives in Akureyri, which is one of the places I was going. And here's his phone number. He's agreed to be on your show. And I'm like, wow, talk about customer service. I didn't even have to call the guy and convince him to be on my show. So as the time got closer, and I got closer and closer to Akiri, I decided, okay, it's time I should call Ragnar and let's arrange a meeting. And was finally able to get a hold of him, and we agreed to meet at my accommodation, because that was a place where we knew that we had a quiet room that we could actually talk in and not have a lot of background noise. You know, we talked about going to a coffee shop or bar or whatever, but I have a feeling that that probably would have been way too noisy. And I'll be honest with you, I really wasn't sure what to expect. My contact with other Asatrar has been fairly limited. It's limited to people like Gene, who, you know, of course, does a million other podcasts, and also Dave, who appeared on the show. It never really occurred to me, you know, what this guy would be like. The various news stories and so forth that I'd seen about Icelandic Asatru always featured an older guy with a bald head and a long beard, and that's kind of what I expected. And what I got when I met Ragnar for the first time was rather different. Because Ragnar's just a regular guy, and I mean this in the most positive sense of the word. I mean, you know, he's younger than I am, you know, dark-haired guy with a beard and tattoos, and he looks like, you know, the regular guy off the street. And why should he look like anything else? You know, that's a case of my expectations being, you know, my imagination running away with me, perhaps. Why would I expect a Gothi in Iceland to be any different from your average Asatruar in America? And so once he arrived at my accommodation, we went up to my room where it was quiet. And of course, then we recorded this interview. So what follows here is a roughly 15 to 20 minute interview with Ragnar Olafsson, a Gothi of the Icelandic Asatru Church. And I hope you enjoy it. And I have with me a very special guest today. I have Ragnar Olafsson from the Asatru Church here in Iceland. And Ragnar, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
So I thought I would ask a little bit about Asatru here in Iceland. This show has a dedicated Asatru listenership, and I was interested in finding out a little bit more about how Asatru works here in Iceland. I do know that since 1973 it's been recognized as an official religion by the nation of Iceland. I was wondering, how is it organized, perhaps, how it started and that kind of thing?
Well, it started out, I think, with maybe 10 people getting the license as an official religion. And then maybe until 2000 there were like just a few hundred people there. And suddenly there was a huge boom around 2000. I think the company has grown 600% or something, and now we are 3,000 people or more, which is roughly 1% of the population. People got really interested in this kind of thing all of a sudden, and I think it's because we've been doing good things and no scandals and no drunken priests.
That's very useful. I heard that they were building now a large temple in Reykjavik. Can you give us a status report on that?
We have actually starting to build the foundation now. Finally, it's been in the process has taken 15 or 20 years to finally get a place to build it. Then it took 10 years to get a permit to start building, and it's finally starting now. So we are very happy and excited. I think the plans are to start using it next year, next summer.
So before this temple is coming to being, how where do you meet now as far as the individual communities? Is there a dedicated space for it, or do you meet in people's homes? How does that work?
In Reykjavik, they've renting a office or like a meeting hall where they meet at least once a week. Here in Akureyri, we are a bit fewer here, and we just rent a meeting hall every once a month to meet. And mostly if we have bloat, it's just outside in nature. Depends on how the weather is.
And of course, the weather here in Iceland being as changeable as it is, you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, for example, we call it Sigurblot. It's held on the first day of summer every year. And 2013, I was dressed in cold weather in boots, and we were standing in snow. And 2014, I was in my shorts, and we were, you know, having fruits outside.
So what exactly is your position within the organization?
I am one of the 9 Gothi. I think we're 9 now. We're adding up, and I am licensed. I can marry people, and I do that. And I'm the head of the Ásatrúarfélagið here in Northern Iceland.
So is that like a priest of an individual parish, or do you oversee smaller groups throughout Northern Iceland?
No, it's just one big group, actually. So, but mostly people from the north of Iceland come. But I have had athafnir blót in the east as well, and wherever the need is, nobody has a special occasion. If somebody from Reykjavik wants to hold a blót, he can come if he likes.
I saw on the website that they do, looks like a weekly fellowship meetings in Reykjavik that are open to the public. Do they have anything like that in any other part of the country, or is that just in Reykjavik?
I think they only have the weekly meeting in Reykjavik, but we have, like I said, we have it here once a month in the east, in Egilsstaðir. They meet maybe once a month, every 2 months. It kind of depends on just how busy people are.
is there a day of the week, a specific day of the week that you usually meet?
We usually meet on Saturdays because everybody has a day off then.
And you don't have to compete with the church. So a little bit about the values of Vasatru. What are you talking about at your meetings? Do you read from the Havamal and talk about that, or do you have how do you come up with your messages, or how do you teach about Vasatru?
Well, those meetings usually just turn into just regular chit-chat, and maybe we talk about the plans, when the next blot is. But usually when we meet once a month, it's just people having coffee and shooting the breeze.
So as it were, it's a more casual sort of organization. It's not as structured as far as having a priest and having a hierarchy and having special, you know, lots of ritual. It's more casual than that.
Yes, it's really casual. It's when we have the blot, there may be six a year. Then it's my more hierarchy. I control that, and people listen to what I say. But when we meet just this once a month, it's just, yeah, like I say, chit chat, and usually about comics and stuff like that. Yeah.
So far, it sounds a lot like American Vasatru. In the States, of course, there's different Vasatru organizations, the Troth, the Vasatru Alliance, and so forth. Do you have that here in Iceland, or is it more just one official group?
It's actually just one official group, but there is another organization which Jörmundur Ingi, the Allsherjargoði before Hilmar started, after he left the Vasatrúafélag, and I think there are maybe 50 or 60 people, but I'm not sure if it's active. I'm not really sure. I know very little about them, but mostly it's just people here, and everybody is in the same group.
Now we're going to move into something a little bit more doctrinal, which I'm a little bit loath to do. But what is your take on the gods themselves? Do you believe them as real beings, or is it more a metaphor for nature? What kind of a view Vasatru hold of their gods in general?
Well, I can't say I believe in them as actual beings, but it's very nice to think about there's somebody there, you know. But it's mostly people see them as representations of nature. Like when we are in the springtime, when we hold blot, I call Frey, ask him to give us a good summer, but that's just kind of, please let the summer be good, whoever's listening. But like I say, it's good to have somebody you can want a special. And like when I do weddings, I call Freya and Frigg, because they are the goddesses of love and fertility. And so it's nice to have somebody you can just ask, please bless this marriage or give us a good summer. But I really don't believe there's Odin is actually real and riding around and... And when there's thunder, I don't think, there goes Thor. But it's really good to call him when you need strength, to ask him to help you. But
so would it be safe to say in Icelandic Vasatru, it's a more a universalist point of view, which means anybody could come from anywhere in the world and join in the Vasatru religion and be a part of that? Would you say that that's the case?
Yes, everybody can. Everybody who wants and who is... Well, since it's an official religion, we can't kick anybody out, but I don't think we've had that problem.
Yeah, there's been controversy, of course, in the States. So you have, it's not just one group, so you've got multiple groups espousing different points of view, and as well as the more traditional Asatru, you have some people who are, you know, they only want Europeans, the what they call the folkish groups, who they only want people who are, you know, white, or the only people who are of Scandinavian descent, and so forth. And I find that's not normal. Those people are small in number. But it's good to hear that here in Iceland things are more open, and that anybody who's wanting to take part can take part. And I think that's one of the things that has always appealed to me personally. And I've been very upfront about, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in the gods, even though I'm descended from Odin. I don't actually believe in them as physical beings. And I like the stories that we cover every ninth episode of our show. You know, I devote to reading from Norse mythology, with the addition of some fantastic music from Mats Wendt, who gave us permission to use it. So I had another question in regards to the doctrinal realm, as far as what Asatru teaches. What would you say the core virtues of Asatru are? What are you trying to teach people to do or to be?
Well, we go by Havamál, or the sayings of the High One, I think it's called in English. And it's just, it can be summed into one sentence: don't be a dick. That's kind of how I sum it up. But of course, it tells you about how to behave in public, and to bring gifts to your friend and receive gifts. And it's kind of like a general behavioral guide. You can pretty much always, if you want to say something clever, you can always find something in Havamál which relates to every situation you end up in. What I like about it doesn't really say you're forbidden to do that, but it says more like you really should not do that, or do it really carefully or something.
So would you say it's more, if you do something, you do it this way, as opposed to don't do that at all?
Yes, something like that. I'm not really sure how I can put words to what I'm thinking, but it's not like the Ten Commandments, which says thou shalt not kill, but in Havamál it's just given that people know that, and it's never mentioned, and because I think they just assumed that people would know not about going about and killing people or stealing their stuff.
And you mentioned the boat, and I seem to remember on the website it says you no longer do the animal sacrifice.
Well, the way we see it is you don't really need to anymore, because of course, in the old days, you needed food. To get food, you needed to sacrifice an animal or slaughter it. But now you just go to the store. Somebody has already done it for you. That's at least how I see it. A reason, but not the reason why we don't do it anymore. It's illegal as well. But is that one of the rules is pretty much the only rule about how people practice Asatru in Iceland is you're free to do it as you see, as long as it don't break the law. Just animal sacrifice just isn't necessary anymore.
So I had another quick question here. This is in regards as far as the pop culture, and there's all these movies now, the Avengers and Thor, and using the gods as characters in fictional literature. And of course, this is something that we cover extensively on this show. We talk about the old comics and kind of poke fun at them a little bit. But do you see that as something that is healthy for Asatru? Do you see that as a way to get people in? Or how do you view that? Is it something you kind of put your nose up at?
No, I actually like the Avengers and the Thor movies, but the only thing that bothers me about them are the inconsistencies to the sagas, like Loki's dad, called Laufey, being a male, when in the stories he's a female. The Sif being some warrior princess when she was Thor's wife, and well, it doesn't bother me that much. Actually, it's an adventure. It's a funny movie, and it's fun. It's fun to watch. And I'm not really sure if that's actually helped us get new members, but probably hasn't spoiled it. So, but people in Iceland are generally know these stories really well. They are taught at schools, not as an indoctrination, but as part of history lessons. Pretty much every Icelander knows of these stories. How I got into Ásatrú, I started reading the, you know, the sagas and stories about it, and these are really fun adventures, but we don't take them literally. We don't, I think nobody, at least in Iceland, is sure that the clouds are really made from a giant's brain.
I thought that these were giant's brains floating over my head this whole time. I have to say, you know, I've really enjoyed my trip to Iceland. It's an absolutely stunning country, and the people very friendly and very outgoing. But it's very easy to see how the landscape here in Iceland has shaped the stories. And I know I've said this on the show in the past when I've been covering the stories, is, and you talk about the, you know, the mountains and the rainbows and all that in the sagas, you can really see that here in Iceland, and you can understand how they thought that the rainbow was a bridge, because I've been lucky enough to see a couple of them here in Iceland, and they looked solid to me. Yes. you can practically float up them. All right, so thank you very much for your time, Ragnar. I really do appreciate you coming up to talk to me here and talk to my listeners in Radio Free Asgard. And you know, if you ever come to Chicago, you can feel free to give me a call, and I'll take you out and buy you a beer. Yeah, hopefully this has been as much fun for you as it has been for us, which I doubt.
Well, thank you. It's been really nice. It's always a pleasure to explain to people how it works here in Iceland, because one of our rules is that missionary work is forbidden. So when people come to me and ask me, I really like being able to talk about this. We don't go outside and knock on people's doors at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. No.
You mean you don't want people opening the door naked? I mean,
no, but we keep to ourselves. But people come to us, and in greater numbers than before, and it's just, everything is awesome. So I quote a recent movie.
So there it is. So once again, big thanks to Ragnar Olafsson for agreeing to appear on Radio Free Asgard. We really, really do appreciate it. You know, I was very aware that he was giving up his personal time to come and talk to me, and so I didn't want to keep him for all that long. So we did actually have a little bit more time to speak outside of the interview, but, you know, like I said, you know, I'm keeping somebody from his family, and it was very generous of him to give us as much time as he did. Now, I would be very remiss if I didn't also mention that while I was in Akureyri, I was able to spend a good amount of time with Robert and his daughter, Kristen. Now, Robert, of course, being one of our original listeners, I mean, he's been listening to me for longer than this show has been on. And he wanted to correct me in one regard. I said, I'm not sure if he was a comics fan at all, but it turns out he is. And he's been reading comics for a long time and has been a fan of comics for a long time, even if those weren't particularly Marvel's Thor comics. Of course, reading lots of stuff, is a little teeny bit older than me. And so the comics he was reading are more, you know, sort of the British television comics and things like that from the 1970s. And a really interesting era. And of course, Andy over at Hankins Comics has talked a little bit about that stuff on his show. So you can certainly feel free to listen to stuff about it over there. But Robert was very generous with his time as well. And I spent the better part of 2 days with him and his daughter. And it was nice. It was really, you know, of course, I always enjoy meeting listeners anyway, but especially when somebody is so accommodating, and Robert allowed me to do laundry at his house and play with the cats and talk about Minecraft with his daughter. And yeah, basically, we had a good old time. And then the second day I hung out with them, we actually went to a hot spring in Mývatn and was able to kind of soak my tired bones in a volcanic pool for a few hours, and that was really nice as well. So, yeah, so Iceland in general, you know, I didn't want to turn this into a travel show, but for sure, it's an awesome place. It's one of those places that is just so phenomenally beautiful that it seems like every time you turn the corner, you have another spectacular vista. And I took over 700 pictures while I was in Iceland, about 100 of which are any good at all. And I've posted most of those on my Facebook page. I believe that if you look on my Facebook page, you should be able to see them even without being my Facebook friend. So if you feel like looking at pictures of Iceland, please feel free to do so. I'm always happy. And if you can't see them, then go ahead and friend me. And I'll go ahead and allow you to be my friend so you can look at them, because, you know, everyone should be able to look at pictures of Iceland, right? And it, I have to say, you know, it is a kind of a big culture shock being back here. And not even so much the culture shock as the temperature shock. Good Lord. It was beautiful weather my whole time in Iceland. I think having a little bit of pull with a certain thunder god had something to do with that. But, you know, I had only one day where it was kind of miserable and drizzly. And the whole rest of the time I was there, the sunny weather followed me around, including the time I was in Akureyri. And so I was just always wanting to be outside and always wanting to do stuff, because that was the kind of weather that I had while I was there. And there's just too much good to say about Iceland to actually say in one show. I mean, I could do like two or three whole shows about nothing but Iceland. But I will tell you, it kind of broke a few things down. I will say, you know, Iceland is a very expensive country. So eating is a major expense there. And if you're a big guy like me, and, you know, it can turn into real money if you actually, you know, want to eat a lot. But of course, I was very active also physically while I was there. I was, you know, climbing up hills and going to see waterfalls and spending a lot of time outside the car as well, and going to see the various sites. And it was a good time. And especially was able to, you know, get good photographs and good pictures of some of the birds and some of the wildlife that I encountered in Iceland, and just some of the surreal landscapes. I mean, you know, worthy of a Kirby drawing, some of these things, the kind of almost lunar sort of quality that some of the lava fields have, with this big snaggly spires of rock. It's like something out of a Jack Kirby drawing in the old Thor comics. And then you have these areas where, you know, the entire landscape are these sort of rounded off boulders covered in a thick layer of green moss. And it is just the coolest looking thing you can possibly imagine. But anyway, so that's kind of enough about my trip, other than to say that, you know, I'm back. And next week, of course, we'll be getting back to our normal production schedule. So Thor number one, Girl Thor, will be next week. And with that, it's time to wrap up the show for this week. Yeah, it's a little bit shorter than usual, but, you know, it's a special episode anyway. So it's time to jump down the Rainbow Bridge, slide the water slide back to Midgard. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mats Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.